Chapter 10. Saturday, 2:32 p.m. Gerald Yeager's home was a three-bedroom apartment in a glass-and-steel high-rise complex in Highland Park. It looked out of place among the two-story row houses, shops, and single-family homes. Yet the anonymous, cold-blooded building fit Yeager to a T. They arrived before Taylor, but Lucy elected not to wait. She called Walden for an update from the building's lobby. Nothing yet on Tardif, except he wasn't a registered sex offender. Mrs. Yeager had agreed to a polygraph, but the mister hadn't. Yeager also refused to allow a policeman to accompany him home, a phone tap, or a search of his premises, which, right now, made him suspect numero uno in Lucy's mind. Cold, calculating, clever, Yeager was all that. Only downside to Yeager being their man was that there was no good reason for him to take the time, risk, and energy to spirit Ashley away unless he wanted her silenced. Permanently. Lucy sighed, only half-listening, as Walden finished his report. She held the phone to her ear while she and Burroughs waited for the elevator. She really didn't want to find another dead kid. Her job was to save the children. At least, the best part of her job.
I followed up with the Stadies about the NCIC report and list of registered sex offenders. Pretty clean neighborhood, Walden continued. Nearest registry offender is 2 miles away. I'm letting the troopers handle those.
Lucy decided his instincts were probably on target. This didn't feel like a stranger danger quick grab. Just the opposite. Someone had taken the time and energy to devote himself to Ashley's needs, and to have his own gratified as well. Anything from the hospitals or morgue?
Nope. Dunmar didn't do so bad with the press conference. Their emergency response center is manning the hotline, but so far nothing promising other than the cashier.
No bus drivers reported anything? The elevator dinged its arrival. Burroughs held it for her while she finished.
No, but you knew that was a long shot.
Walden's tone was slightly chiding. She agreed. There would be no easy way out on this case.
Nothing's popped on background checks or financials. Still waiting to hear back from New York on the photographer, Tardif. You want me to stay here, babysit some more, or can I turn the duty over to the locals?
She wondered if the sheriff was prepared for the overtime hit their budget was going to take. Manning the control center and keeping people at the house with the mom? Not her concern, officially. She was just there to advise and make the locals look good. Hang out there a while longer. I'm taking another crack at the dad. Then I'll be back. Call me if anything comes up. She hung up and entered the elevator. Her ears popped as they were hurtled up to the 14th floor.
Convenient place for dad, Burroughs told her. The zoo is right down the street. He can walk to work.
What kind of a man devotes his life to working with snakes and lizards? He arched his eyebrow, a smile quirking at his mouth as if he were about to question her own career choice again. The door slid open before he could say anything. Gerald Yeager did not appear happy to see them. He stood at his door, blocking their view of his personal space, keeping them in the hallway. Did you find Ashley?
Not yet, Mr. Yeager.
Lucy stood so that she was the focus of his attention, leaving Burroughs to observe from the periphery. Observe and watch her back. Something hinky was going on with Yeager, something she couldn't quite put her finger on. Yet. Then why are you here? You should be out looking for her. She noticed he didn't use Ashley's name. Didn't or couldn't. We need to speak with you. May we come in?
Is this about the lie detector test? I already told you people, I'm her father. I love her. I shouldn't have to prove it.
His voice came out flat, allowing no argument. His body betrayed him. A band of sweat on his upper lip, the way his gaze dropped to focus on the floor, a shift in his weight as he shrank away from Lucy. She decided to take a gamble.
Actually, Gerald, I'm here about the camera. Your camera. The one I found in Ashley's room.
Bingo. The transformation from outraged parent to cowering liar took only 2 heartbeats. As if he'd been waiting for this moment,
waiting for his lies to catch up with him. Shoulders drooping, Yeager walked away from them, leaving the door open. Lucy followed, Burrows on her heels. The detective still had his hand near his service piece, but she didn't think he'd need it. The dangerous part was usually when you confronted the denials, challenged the carefully constructed web of lies, not after they already admitted defeat.
"I'm sorry about the pictures,"
Yeager said, dropping down into a black leather recliner. The entire room was done in black and chrome, a match to Melissa Yeager's kitchen, as if their entire married life had been devoid of color.
"But they have nothing to do with Ashley.
Well, they do, but not the way that you mean." Lucy slanted a look at Burrows, who merely shrugged. She sat down on the leather sofa, her knee mere inches away from Yeager's.
"Why don't you start from the beginning? It wasn't my weekend. I wasn't supposed to have her. I mean, I have a right to my own life, you know?"
"The weekend when Ashley ran away and came here? What did she find, Gerald? Something that scared her?" He leaned forward, elbows on his knees, face buried in his hands, muffling his words.
"Yeah. Then she got angry. Said I didn't love her, that I never had."
When he didn't look up, she knew Ashley had probably been right. She leaned forward, her elbows on her knees, her voice low, secretive, a keeper of confidences. "What did Ashley see, Gerald?" He blew out his breath. Then he looked up, not meeting her gaze but looking past her, out the window, searching for an escape.
"A friend of mine, Mark. He's the one in the pictures. I know he looks young, but he's really 23. We're two consenting adults. I swear, I didn't even know Ashley stole the camera until a week later when she called. She threatened to tell her mother about Mark unless I let her come live with me."
"What did you say?"
"I'm not going to let my own kid blackmail me."
He sat up straight, looking her in the eye once more.
"Should have known. Growing up in that house, with that woman, she'd never learn any respect."
"So Ashley told her mother? About you and Mark?"
"I told Ashley that. Said I didn't care if her mother saw the pictures. After that, she stopped talking to me."
He sighed as if he were the injured party.
"All I did for that kid, and she cut me out of her life, just like that."
"Right. It was all her fault." "Mr. Yeager, do you have a computer?"
"Of course I do."
"Good. One of my technicians will need to take a look at it. Is there anything on there that might cause problems?" He shook his head.
"No, just more photos of Mark and me. Go ahead. You can look anywhere you want."
The phone rang, and Yeager jumped. He looked to Lucy for permission before answering it. She nodded her assent.
"Hello?"
Yeager's face creased into a scowl of anger and worry. Lucy tensed. Was it Ashley? A ransom demand?
"I'm on my way. Get the others back inside before any harm comes to any specimens."
He slammed the phone down.
"Someone stole my specimens. I have to go."
"Mr. Yeager, we need you here, in case Ashley calls." He blinked. He'd forgotten about Ashley. Lucy exchanged glances with Burrows.
"But..." Burrows gave it a try. "Surely your assistants can care for your, specimens?"
Yeager slumped back in his seat. "Were they poisonous?" Lucy asked, thinking of the snake handlers. Maybe Pastor Walter's flock had tried to replenish their serpent supply.
"Poisonous? No, of course not. They're harmless. I'm not sure why anyone would want 42 colubridae. They're not exotic, not worth anything."
"Probably just a prank," Burrows reassured him.
"Kids playing."
A knock rattled the door. Taylor, right on time with the warrants. The technician got busy with the computer while Burrows and Lucy searched the guest bedroom where Ashley stayed. Nothing except some toiletries and a pair of baggy pajamas. "Mr. Yeager, now that we've discussed everything, would you mind taking a polygraph?" Yeager shrugged.
"Sure.
Whatever. We'll also have someone stopping by to monitor things, in case Ashley calls, she added. It seemed best to have someone keep an eye on the father. Now that she'd wrung all his secrets from him, she doubted he had anything to do with Ashley's disappearance. But she'd been wrong before. No sense taking any chances. Once they were back in the elevator heading down, Burrow slouched against the wall. They reached the lobby and headed out to the car.
"Where to now, boss?"
Burrows asked as he turned the ignition on. "Back to Ashley's house." Lucy plopped down into the passenger seat, feeling discouraged. "Think you can have your precinct guys keep an eye on Yeager?"
"We call them zones here in Pittsburgh."
"Right, and someone needs to talk to Yeager's boyfriend."
"The infamous Mark."
The car had warmed up considerably, basking in the 85-degree sunshine. He turned on the AC and pulled out onto the street.
"I'll do it myself if you don't have something more constructive for me to do."
"I wish I had something more constructive for me to do. I hate this part, the waiting part. But until we crack her computer and finish tracking phone calls, there's not a whole lot more to do." He turned a corner and they pulled up to an Eaton Park.
"Sure there is. We can have lunch. Recharge."
She said nothing. Food was the farthest thing from her mind, and she doubted she would taste anything she ate. Damn it. There had to be something more she could be doing. No 14-year-old's life could be such a dead end. Burroughs didn't give her any choice, getting out of the car and waiting for her to join him. He held a small thermos. "Refilling the coffee?"
"I wish.
My testing gear and insulin. I carry it in case my pump fails, but it needs to stay cold."
"Jeez it, Burrows. You should have said something. We could have stopped sooner."
"I'm good. Snuck a protein bar before we left the house."
He shrugged.
"Got it down to a science. Go ahead and grab us a booth. I'll be back in a jiff."
The restaurant was busy, but a wave of her credentials got Lucy the next available table. While she perused the menu and waited for Burrows, she called Taylor and got an update.
"Got the LUDs from Mom's phone. The call that woke her this morning came from Ashley's cell phone."
Lucy dropped the menu she was holding. Damn, maybe Burrows was right. Ashley was playing a game, tormenting her mother for starters.
"You're kidding.
Got a location?"
"Not yet. Since the call already happened, it will take time."
She was all too familiar with the routine. "Anything on Dad's computer?"
"Some guy-on-guy stuff. Nothing illegal. No suspicious web browsing. I'll comb through his emails later, but I want to get back to Ashley's unit."
"Why? Think you have something?"
"I don't know what it means, but I was right. Her hard drive was scrubbed."
"English, Taylor. A program was used to overwrite all the sectors multiple times. It's the same thing the government does to clean hard drives before disposing of them." "You mean a 14-year-old kid somehow got access to a government program?" Boy, that opened a whole huge can of worms.
"That's the problem. These programs have been around for years. They're used by every level of government and also available on the web. Anyone could have sent it to her, or she could have Googled it for herself."
"Well, hell, that doesn't help." Lucy squeezed a lemon into her water. It felt so good to wring the life out of something right now. A stray seed caught in her wedding ring. She flicked it clear.
"It might, if I could trace it back to its source. Anyway, I'm working on a reconstruction program. It compares each sector on the hard drive, then..."
"How long?"
"Maybe as early as tomorrow, if we're lucky."
"I need it sooner. And don't let up on her ISP. We need her emails and instant messages."
"They promised them this afternoon."
"Hey, is Fletcher still around?"
"The ICE guy? Haven't seen him. But you know, some people actually take weekends off. Besides, I've got things covered here."
Taylor was territorial with sharing his cases with other agencies. "He worked a bust with me this morning."
"How come I wasn't in on it?"
"Because it wasn't your case. It was like running a nursery school, reassuring the boys they'd all have their chance to play. Anyway, do me a favor and call him. Let him know I'll need him tomorrow morning. We're going to bring in the Canadians. It's some kind of bank holiday up north this weekend, and they're taking advantage of the long weekend." His snort of disapproval carried through the phone. Yeah, some holiday. Taking a tour to meet a little kid for sex.
Call me when you find anything. She hung up just as Burroughs slid into the seat across from her.
So how's your kid?
He asked, nodding to her phone. Guilt flushed her. She needed to call home. It was Taylor, nothing new.
Uh-huh.
He looked at her over the top of his menu.
Taylor, he has a thing for you, you know.
She waved his comment aside. Last thing she needed was water cooler gossip. He's just excited. First big case.
I can't get over how well orchestrated this was,
were his first words after ordering a bacon cheeseburger and onion rings.
Scripted.
Lucy shook her head without even realizing it, stopping herself and masking her emotions. Best not to get involved. Barring that, at least not to reveal her involvement. But Ashley's artwork had tipped the scales for her. Such raw pain, gnawing despair.
Not by Ashley. Of course by Ashley. Who else?
No. I don't think she's in control.
So you think she was coerced? That she's a victim?
He tilted his head, thinking, then frowned.
No, I don't buy it. She's been planning this a long time. Maybe all summer if what the mom said is right.
She had a definite objective, knew exactly what she was doing.
We just need to figure out where she's headed.
We can't write her off as a routine runaway, Lucy protested. She didn't care if the evidence so far indicated otherwise. She had to go with her gut.
Oh, I don't think there's anything routine about it. I think Ashley's leading us on a wild goose chase. She's in control, and we're just puppets.
She's only 14, for Christ's sakes.
A 14-year-old who is smart, knows what she wants, and had the resources and freedom to put her plan in action. Trust me, she's playing us.
Even though she disagreed with him, it was too early in the case to ignore any possibility. Okay, walk me through it.
Right. She leaves from school. Why? To buy time.
Plus mobility, Lucy put in. No bus stop near her house, and she doesn't drive.
So she must have wiped her computer before she left for school. Something like that has to take several hours at least.
Not to mention taking the camera card and setting up her alibi with her mom last week.
What 14-year-old thinks that far ahead? When I was her age, I couldn't remember to make sure I had clean underwear for the next day.
Burroughs tapped his fork candle against the tabletop as he thought.
Told you. Scripted.
Their food arrived, and both of them dug in. Lucy had ordered a breakfast platter. Tons of protein. It should keep her going until she stopped to eat again. Lord only knew when that might be.
What about money?
He asked, wiping ketchup from his chin. Lucy shrugged. No bank account or credit cards that she could access. Mom gave her 20 a week in allowance. Who knows how much she had on hand in cash.
20 a week? Sheesh. Don't tell my kids. They get 5, and that's only if they do all their chores.
They finished eating and returned to the Impala. Lucy stood with her car door open for a few minutes while Burroughs cranked the AC's blower. She remembered warm Indian summers when she was a kid in Latrobe, the air heavy with the smell of yeast and hops from the Rolling Rock Brewery. But never this hot. While she waited, she leafed through Ashley's binder again. Raw images of screaming mouths, torturous geometric shapes resembling mazes with no escapes, and few images of hope. On the last page, set apart by several blank pages, was a portrait. A young man slaying a demon. Standing beside him, hidden by shadows, was a feminine figure with a sword drawn. It was hard to tell if she was poised to stab the man in the back or come to his aid. Which was Ashley? The victim cowering in the shadows? Or the assassin, ready to strike?